scripture reading this morning will be read from Matthew 7, verses 14 and 15. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves.
Every time you go away to speak in a new location, you try to get familiar with the equipment that they have, and I just need to try to get that here. Hello to everyone. Some of you I do not know, and for those, I will introduce myself. My name is James Baker. I live in Philadelphia. I am the preacher for the church at 7222 Germantown Avenue. I'm happy to be here today to be a part of this series of lessons concerning evangelism. It's good to have lessons like that because that is the nature of all of us as Christians. So I'm happy to be here and to give my portion of this series. I enjoyed listening to the speaker that was before me. Didn't get a chance to hear the others, but I'm pretty sure they did a good job, and I'm just going to try to keep that going on. I see that you have a board up here, so let me just do what I normally do. I want to move this board, because I'm going to be jumping all over this board, so don't be surprised, okay? The topic given unto me, what is known as urban. Don't laugh at my right. Urban evangelism. I'm going to put a little symbol here because that's going to represent the heart of man. And I'm going to refer to that quite often. So don't take your eyes off this symbol throughout the lesson because that's very important. But urban evangelism. I'm pretty sure if you've been coming here every night, you've probably heard the words rural, suburban, and now urban. Those three terms exist because they do represent something of a difference in living conditions. Ideals, customs, habits, existence. Because if that were not the case, those words would not exist. Now let me also say this. I don't have any special answer if you come here looking for one. I'm going to talk about urban evangelism, but I don't have a magical wand to tell you anything about that. So I don't have any special critique or specialize in any particular technique. I say that because a lot of times when you meet people, they're always asking, well, what are you doing? How are you converting? And they're trying to hear as if you're going to give them some type of magical formula. I don't have that. And I don't think no preacher does. I've met a lot of preachers, and I haven't met any that has any idea. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. But there is something that we do have, and we're going to talk about that as well. So I want to talk about that this morning. Before I do, there's a couple of things I want to try to cover because I want to deal with this, but I want to try to come at it from a different turn. So I'm going to ask that you take a few moments to go with me as we go through this. Now, our scripture reading was in Matthew. And that scripture, and this is just me personally, is the worst scripture that I like reading in the Bible. I try to avoid that passage. But sometimes I have to talk about it. Now let me tell you why I avoid that passage. Jesus Christ said, the way to hell will be full of people. And the way to heaven won't have very many people. you change that? No. Jesus Christ is telling us that most men and women, and unfortunately some people in the Church of Christ along with that number, are going to be lost. And there's no stopping that. And every now and then I run across some brother, oh, we've been doing all we can. We've been doing this and doing that, and nobody's obeying. I've been preaching hard in the pulpit, and nobody's doing what's right. Well, guess what? You're seeing the words of Christ come to life right in your presence. You want to know why people are not obeying the gospel? You want to know why church members don't do what they ought to do? Because Jesus said it's going to be that way. I don't like hearing that. And any man that likes preaching the gospel, he wants to see results. You prepare Bible studies, you prepare sermons, you want to see results. You want to see people grow. You want to see people get up and accept Jesus Christ and be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of their sins. You want to see that. You say to yourself, look at everything that I've done. Didn't come out with me. So that's why I don't like that passage. But you know what? It's the truth of the matter. But guess what? Just because Jesus said that that's the way that things are going to turn out, that is no reason for you and I to sit down on the stool of do nothing. Got to work. You got to work even though you probably have a pretty good feel on how it's going to come out. One more thing, and we're going to move on here. When God created this big world in which we live, He knows what's going to happen. He knew that men would reject Christ. That's why the sacrifice of Christ was decided before the foundation of the world. So He knew that. But He went ahead and made the world anyway and went through the motions and everything, which brings us to where we are now. So God knows, but He just goes through the motion anyway. So that's teaching every man and every woman, go ahead, go through the motions. Be disappointed. Be discouraged at times. Be rejected at times. Do your job. And that's what Matthew 7 tells us. It warns us of that. So how many people are you baptizing, people sometime ask? Well, how many people are going to let me baptize? Left up to me, I baptize everybody in East Orange this morning. You ever thought about that? North Jersey. Not left up to me. A more suitable question ought to be, how many people have you been trying to study with? Now that's a better question. Don't ask me how many people I'm baptizing. It's not left up to me. When you look in the Bible, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will be our first text. Urban evangelism. I want to talk about it, but I want to take a little swing to the side here first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How much effort do we put into it? And I don't care if you live in a rural area, a suburban area, or an urban area. Paul here says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Paul says, we persuade men, we beg men, we employ men. But we are made manifested unto God. And I trust also are made manifested in your conscience. Paul here says, since we know what's going to happen, we persuade men. There are a lot of people here in North Jersey, since they don't study God's Word, they don't have a clue what's going to happen to them if they're not prepared. But we know. Therefore, we persuade men. We come back to this now. This represents the heart of men. We persuade men. If we live in an urban setting, a city area, we persuade men to obey the gospel. techniques. He mentions us persuading men. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20. I won't go there, but I want you to go. The church is in a state of difficulty, persecution, hard times. Things not quite the way they would like for it to be, but they're in it. Paul says, since we're in this situation, let every man abide in the calling from whence he is called. So wherever you're standing right now, stand firm. Stand firm. Whether you're rural, suburban, or urban, stand firm. I preach in an urban setting. I don't have a building like this. And by the way, this is a nice building. Nothing wrong with it. Man wants to serve God, he can come here and do something. There might be buildings that are far better than this. Nothing wrong with that either. Man wants to serve God, he can go in those buildings if they're teaching the truth in there. The building I use is a storefront on an avenue. It doesn't look like this. I make no apologies for that because where I meet don't look like this. Why do I not make any apology for that? Because I'm doing the best I can with what I have. Now, if you want to serve God, you can come in this storefront, smaller area, you can serve God here, or you could travel right here to East Orange, and you can serve God here. Either way, God's going to be served. So I'm abiding that calling. Now, if I get money later on down the line, yeah, if I can afford something bigger, I'll take it. But times are changing. And whether you live in an urban setting, a suburban setting, or a rural setting, you need to abide in that calling from which you've been called. And you need to persuade the men and women that are there about the terror of God. Encourage them to do what God says. As was mentioned this morning, not all preaching produces baptisms. And that's what this whole meeting is about. You know, we're talking about these different areas where people live. It's all about conversions. That's what it's all about. Well, very quickly, I want to name some passages because time will not allow me to read all of them. But I want to name some and I want you to write them down. And when you get a chance, look at them. Well, we look at the work of Christ in Mark chapter 6, verse 5 through 6. Where he went and he preached and he taught. And he got nothing as far as response. Acts 17 verse 11, we've seen the expression used that the men there in Berea, they were more noble there than those that were in the other location. More noble. Now why is that phrase in there? That the men in this area were more noble than the ones over there. Because that's teaching you there that there might be some differences in location. You ever thought about that? I mentioned the building here. Now, one other thing, and I want to talk a little bit more about this as we go on too. I don't know, sometimes we all just set in the mindset that everything is going to be the same as from where we came from. And it's not that way. You need to wake up. I have some stories to tell you about people from other areas that have come to where I am now and just completely blown away. Some of them didn't come back because it wasn't like where they came from. I don't know where that type of thinking comes from. I don't know why. But here it tells you that these were different type of people. They searched the scriptures daily. So there's going to be differences. Then we have the expressions, shake the dust of your feet off. In Acts 13:51, we have Jesus' golden words in Matthew 7:9, where he says, don't cast your pearl before pigs. And then, Matthew 10, verse 11. Write these things down if you never thought about them. But Matthew's 10, verse 11, where he sends these people out on what is known as the limited commission. He says, when you go into a city. So we see Jesus is going to specialize somewhat in what we call urban evangelism. He says, when you go into a city, find out who is worthy. Coming back now to the heart. In that urban setting. When I send you into that city, find out who is worthy. What heart in that setting is worthy? I have no techniques for city dwellers, but I do have a message. Find out who is worthy. Who would listen to you? Who would have some interest in what you're trying to say? And stay there. That's the words of Christ. He didn't tell those people, I'm going to send you to school for 6 months and tell you what technique to use in this and that. He didn't do it. No such thing. But he did give them a message. And we need to take it. The heart of man, whether rural, suburban, or urban. And I agree wholeheartedly with everything that was said earlier about the suburban individual. But you know, everybody has problems. Everybody's going to come to a point where grief is going to be there. Disappointment. The need. And there might be some people that arrive there later than others. There might be some people that stay in grief and hardship all the time. Just look at a lot of people in the third world countries where there's famine and everything. And then you hear evangelists talking about, we went over there and we had all this great success. Well, those people, they've been suffering all their life. They have to look for something better than what they're going through. I can understand why the gospel would probably be more appealing to them than someone here in an affluent North Jersey neighborhood. I can see why. That's very cool. But the heart of man, when it is touched by faith in the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, if you turn over there, tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when this individual who is worthy, when he hears the word of God, whether he's urban, suburban, or rural, he will respond because he is worthy. He's looking for that which God would have him to know. John 6, verse 45, where Jesus teaches those who come to him, they are taught. Well, if you are very successful and you live in the suburbs and you have escaped the city and you feel comfortable, you're probably not going to want to be taught. So maybe you're not a worthy individual at that time. There might be something come along later on that would make you reconsider, but you may not at that time be worthy. But John 6:45 says they all must be taught of God, and when it comes to pass, everyone who has learnt of the Father will come unto him. Plain and simple as that. So the heart of man is very important. So I'm going to stop this point at this juncture, and then we're going to go to another point that I want to talk about. So the idea is, no matter where you are, we got to preach. We just got to take the message, the simple gospel, and we got to find out who's worthy, who wants to hear about it, who is concerned about it. Urban preaching versus all other preaching. Well, Romans chapter 1, verse 15. And I want you to notice what Paul says there. Go over there, if you will. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. Paul, and Rome was a big area. And notice what Paul here says. Romans 1:15. Just notice here. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. See what he said there? Paul writes. He says, I'm here. Rome is here. travel here, from here, all the way to Rome. And once I get to Rome, that gospel I preach, I will preach in Rome. Paul, what were you preaching over here? I was trying to encourage men and women to repent. Well, what are you going to preach when you come to the big city of Rome? I'm going to take the same methods and encourage men and women to repent. But Paul, you're in Rome. That's a big city. I'm going to teach men and women to repent. I'm looking for worthy hearts. Doesn't seem like Paul was concerned about the metro area. Seems like he was more concerned about who was worthy. I can go into big cities. I can go to San Francisco. I can go in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I can go to some small town in Georgia. And I can carry the gospel to all three places. Just the gospel. And I can go in there and I can try to find out who is willing to listen. And I may find somebody that's willing to listen in one of those areas. Maybe one of those areas more so than others. But the only thing I carried was the gospel. I have a message. Do you want to listen? It's either yes or no. And if the answer is no, then I go on and try to find someone else that is willing to listen to me. And that's all that it is. And that's what Paul said that he was going to do. I'm going to go to Rome and I'm going to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. There's a lot of passages in the Bible about individuals entering cities. You know, when I was asked to do this, I got to thinking. I said, well, you know, there are phrases in the Bible where individuals went into cities. And if you look in John chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus went into Samaria. Now, Samaria wasn't a city like some of our cities, but it was a big area for them back then. And then later on in Acts 8, verse 5 through 8, Philip went down into Samaria. And then in Acts chapter 18, verse 10 through 11, Paul went into Corinth, a major center at that time. He went into Corinth. And the Bible says he entered into Jewish synagogues. Well, did Paul have a different type of techniques that he used out in the countryside that were different than the ones that he used in Corinth? I don't think so, as far as the message is concerned. The message itself was the same. He took that same message and he taught it wherever he was. So when he went into Corinth, a bigger area, which would be classified for them back there as urban, he went in there and he argued and debated with the Jews in the same manner as if he would have met a Jew out on some distant road somewhere. He just took the message. Paul had confidence in the message. So when we talk about where we live today, whether we're living in the rural, some people want to make fun of the rural areas and call it the sticks, suburbs, or whether we actually live in the inner city, our message, are we caring? We got the same message. Are we carrying it? Are we pressing it? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves. We got a great message. The only problem is trying to find someone that's willing to listen to it. The city is the center of major activity. It is where all the hustle and bustle go forth. When you talk about an urban setting where the gospel is going into and people are going to try to preach God's word there, there is some bad and there is some good. In other words, there is some up and down. In the city, there is much crime. But you know, crime is not only attached to the city now. It can go out of the suburbs. You all heard the news. We had this doctor up here in Connecticut. He was living in a nice neighborhood. Crime found its way there, didn't it? So whenever you think about crime, don't just think about a city dwelling. It could be anywhere. But let's go back to the fact of crime in an urban setting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, if you go over there right quick, Paul, in writing about his travels as an evangelist and the things which he endured, one of the phrases that he uses is perils. Perils, difficulties. He says, I suffered from perils in the city. Perils in the city. Well, what did Paul mean by that? When Paul was out doing evangelistic work, the work of Christ, he traveled to areas that were more heavily populated than other areas, where there was a concentration of more people. And when you put more people in a given area, you're going to create more problems. And Paul says, when I was in the city, I was in those conditions, and I ran into problems that are pretty much centralized to that type of living space. And it threatened me, so Paul says. But Paul continued. Now, let me share with you this point. Seems like whenever we get visitors, they're always concerned about the neighborhood. Now, where I meet on Germantown Avenue, in that strip, it is a commercial area. It is not a bad neighborhood. But I'm always getting questions, how is the neighborhood? I'm just walking ahead. How is the neighborhood? Well, what do you mean, how is the neighborhood? Oh, would I get robbed there? Say, you coming to Philadelphia, you can get robbed in the airport. This idea of crime, even though it exists in an urban setting, it's everywhere. Maybe more concentrated in certain areas, but it's everywhere. So when you talk about urban evangelism, there is a thought about crime. And I can understand that. But by doing urban evangelism, yes, I will admit it sort of spikes up a little bit, because there are certain neighborhoods that you may go to, you may not want to go by yourself. When you're passing out tracts, and I believe strongly in that, I believe strongly in carrying printed material and giving it to people, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But sometimes when you are in areas that are known to be havens for that type of behavior, it's not a good idea to go by yourself. And sometimes with this same message that you would preach in the suburbs, you may have to do a little bit of adjustment. So maybe out in the suburbs where, as was mentioned this morning, everybody is fat, and I don't mean literally, but fat with money, they don't need to take your money. You can go by yourself and don't get knocked in the head. But if you're going into an area where everybody is depressed and there's a lack of money and there's drugs and other types of ills of society, you may need to carry some protection. And that's usually another person. So that's adjustments that you have to make. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22, why don't you turn over there? There is a principle that is spoken by Paul, which I think is very good when we talk about urban evangelism. Paul talks about an area because he recognizes that each area has its own identity. And that is true. And I've mentioned earlier how some people will leave one area and go to another and think they're going to find the same thing that they left behind. And that thinking is just not good thinking. Paul says, to the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. Paul says, I am made all things to all men. Now what Paul is trying to say there, since he understands that not everything is the same, I might have to make some adjustments. So Paul says, I am willing to make those adjustments that I might in some way help mankind. So Paul recognizes a valuable thing about human existence, that sometimes you have to make adjustments. As long as those adjustments are not contrary to God's law, make them. Make them. If you move to an urban area, don't get all bent out of shape because the one church there meets at 12 o'clock rather than 9:45 where you came from. Okay? Might be a reason for that. I shouldn't go there expecting it. I remember being in one country one time in the Caribbean, and they met at 6:30 in the evening. That's the time, the only time they could get the place where they were using. They couldn't get it any other time. So their Sunday evening service was at 6:30 in the evening. Well, what if somebody had been born in some part of this country where, as I said, where you meet for Bible class at 9 o'clock, followed by worship at 10, and they went down there? They'd probably be blown away. We shouldn't be getting blown away. Don't we realize that things are different? Let's educate ourselves on the difference. Don't think that the world evolves around the schedule and the things of which we grow up and are accustomed to. They're the difference. Paul recognized that. That's why he says, I'm going to make some adjustments that I may give unto others that which is good. Crime in the city. Congestion. There are a lot of health issues. There's a lot of dirty streets and grime. As was mentioned this morning, the educational factor might be, or it is different. In the city, it's always a tendency to have those who are less affluent in education. There's a lot of poor. Go to Acts 3, verse 2 through 5. Here they are coming out of the temple. The temple is located right there in Jerusalem. Probably in the heart of town. Never been to Jerusalem, but I sort of picture the temple being that way. So you're coming out of the temple, and then there's a beggar lying there. Lying down. Now, wait a minute. I'm from the suburbs. Whenever I come out of the grocery store, there's nobody lying there in front of the door. Of course not. You're in the suburbs. Those people out there, they done made it financially. How's a beggar going to get money to go way out in the suburbs and lay it in the store that you're shopping in out there? He's not going to be able to make it. He can't afford the bus fare out there. So he's got to stay in the city. So they come out of the temple. There's this beggar lying, and the first thing he looks up expecting to get something. Well, that's the way urban life is. You got a lot of people that are down and out. Drugs, alcohol, all other types of nonsense take people to those limits. The suburbs. Every time you hear someone talk about the suburbs in contrast to the urban setting, the suburbs is a haven for those who have made it. I got out of there. You ever hear people say it? I got out of there. What do you mean you got out of there? They're talking about the city, right? They escaped from the school system. They escaped from the fellows down there on the block who were selling the drugs. They escaped from the old crumbling houses. And now we got out, we're out here in the next county that's out of the heart of town. Better schools, better streets, better education, because that's where all the educated people go. And in the city, it's left with the down and out. Now imagine a person living all their life in the suburbs with affluent people who have made it. And one day they have to go away to some city for a business trip. And the only church that's meeting there is an inner city church. The race of those people might be different. Have you ever thought about that? Wow, I've never worshipped with those people before. The building, he goes there and looks at the building. The people that come in, they don't have on suit and ties. They don't have money. They may come to church in jeans. There's not a lot of cars parked up out there. They might be using public transportation. And this wealthy saint from this suburban county in another state, they say, well, you know what? I think I just won't go. I'll just wait for my business trip and go back home and go to church.
just. That's what goes on in an urban setting.
Most of the town in Philadelphia where I live, most of it is right. There's some good neighborhoods, but that don't make up the majority of the city. Most of it is right. There are counties outside of Philadelphia that look very nice. Streets, playgrounds, college campuses. You know, you hear people talking about, I want to go to college, but I don't want to go down on such and such a location because I'll get robbed. And then they talk about the campuses outside of town. Oh yeah, I want to go there. Because they know the campuses outside of town is different. But the point of the matter is, brothers and sisters, that's the urban lifestyle for us. And I'm thankful that we have men and women that are willing to go into the heart of the city. Set up a location for God's church in the heart of the city among those who are less educated. As the disciples were in Acts chapter 4 verse 13. Remember that the Jews looked down on the disciples in Acts 4 13. They said, these old men are just fishermen. They don't have no learning. Are we sort of that way too? I would never preach the gospel to somebody who lives in that neighborhood. Half of them don't have a high school diploma. And that might be true. But that's the way that many cities are. But let me tell you what they do have. They don't have a high school diploma, but they got a soul just like this old snobbish person out in the suburbs who you're trying to convert, and they won't let you. This poor man in the ghetto might listen to you. Because remember, he don't have anything to lean upon. He don't have a swimming pool or two Cadillacs or an Escalade or a Hummer in his garage. He doesn't have those things. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. When David was on the run, I find it interesting, the cast of characters who came to be a part of his army. 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2. And I want you to notice, when you read that verse, notice the individuals who became a part of David's army. It talks about everyone that was in some type of trouble. Everyone that owned money. Everyone that was pretty much, let me just make a long story short. Look at the verse. Read it right there. Everyone that was down and out. He did not have Ivy League people assembled with him. He had people who were considered to be the bottom of the bucket. The scourge of society. These are the individuals that became a part of David's men. Just like the disciples, as the Jews looked upon them there in Acts 2, they were considered to be uneducated and unlearned men. But when you talk about urban evangelism and meeting all these types of people, and I've met them all. I've been in Philadelphia for 27 years. You can't tell me what not to meet. I've met it all. Begging for money, con games, you name it, I've seen it. You know, I don't see no end in sight. I don't see any end in sight. But here's the thing about that. Even in that type of environment where people are somewhat at a disadvantage, they're still worthy people. There are still people in those types of environments that would love to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep working in those environments. When we move to an area, I just got to talking to a brother on the phone here. here was moving to the area sometime soon from another area. He was so concerned about being inside the city and how that probably would not be good for him. I said, well, that's up to you. I said, I'm in the city because I chose to be here. He was talking about how out in the suburbs he could be safe and he could have this and he could have that. Okay, well, if that's what's driving you, I guess you might as well just go ahead and look for it out there. Because half the things he had mentioned to me, I said, well, you're not going to get that here. But we need more people that are willing to go inside towns and cities and preach the gospel. We have a lot of cities here on the East Coast, major areas where nobody will go to. Everybody seems to want to go out in some suburban area and be comfortable, I guess. But we do need people inside the city as well. Because as we said, Jesus and others went into the city. That is a phrase that we're going to see a lot in the New Testament. Acts chapter 9, verse 6. As was mentioned this morning, Paul on a business trip. I like that. He was interrupted by Jesus Christ. And notice in Acts 9 and verse 6, what did Jesus tell him? Arise, go into the suburbs, into the rural areas. Is that what he said? You're in Acts 9, verse 6. What did he say? Man, I wouldn't go to church over there, man. That's some town. Don't go there. Rise and go into the city. Now, in the city, there were some saints meeting there, inside the city. They had accepted what we call urban evangelism. They had decided that they were going to put up with people asking them for money, people breaking in and trying to steal stuff, people killing one another, con games, drive-by, bad housing, potholes. Arise, go into the city. Why come none of us don't arise and go into the city? I ought to think about it. God isn't directing us from urban areas. He's telling us to go in there. I tell you, when we get comfortable, don't we? We don't want to leave our suburbans far. We want to stay right there. But you know, there are some good things about this urban evangelism which you can benefit from. Here's one good thing that I see about an urban set, which you may not find in a rural or maybe suburban set. It was mentioned this morning about covering places 3 or 4 times, which I think I heard. And that's all right. But you know what my answer to that, oh brother, if you've covered that area 3 or 4 times, cover it again. Keep covering it. Because here's one thing about covering any area. There may be a new person moving. Keep covering. But here's something here about a city. In a city, the city is a big, big city like many of these East Coast cities are. There is an amazing population base. If I was in some rural town in Georgia, I'm going to be limited on numbers pretty soon. Everybody down there knows everybody. Everybody knows everybody so well, they know the color of your toothbrush. You ever thought about that? That's pretty limited. So pretty soon, you're going to be covering everybody in town. And you run out of people to cover. Well, the good thing about an urban setting, if you're a very evangelistic, you're not going to have that problem. You're going to always be running into somebody you've never seen before. And guess what? As I said earlier, it never stops. That's right, it never stops. Always. That avenue to connect with someone new is always going to be there. You never run out. Now that's a good thing about an urban setting that you may not get rural or suburban. Public transportation is very good in cities. A lot of times in suburban and rural areas, people say, I can't come. I live so far out, nobody can pick me up. That might be the case. But in an urban setting, transportation is good. I've had a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to college down there. I said, well, what college are you going to? They tell me. I said, okay, train line. And by the way, if somebody is coming to an urban setting, that ought to be something you need to learn anyway. Train can get you here in X and X, X amount of time. A lot of people thank me and they come on the train. There are other people who want to still live suburban, they won't come on the train. They got some working on their character they need to do. You're going to have to ride the train, you're going to have to ride the bus. There's nothing wrong with it. Get used to it. Some of us don't want to get used to that. Well, so-and-so always picks me up. Well, that was good where you living, but you ain't living there no more, so you better adjust like Paul said. See, we got some attitudes that need to change. Same old gospel message, but in an urban setting. Well, I remember being one time, as a matter of fact, Gary Hunt over in Brooklyn. Let me just tell you this. That little part of Brooklyn where they're meeting now was invited over to speak for them one day. Drove up from Philadelphia, went over there. What, 15 people meeting over there? Okay, service is over. Let's go get something to eat. Then I found out something. Of course, you know, it didn't shock me, but it was just new to me. Nobody had a car. I was the only one that had a car. Everybody gonna go out to eat, and they're gonna go like 4 or 5 miles away to go out and eat. So everybody got to ride the bus down there. So you know what? I became taxi for the day. Taxi. I drove everybody back and forth. Now someone might say, "Well, I've never seen nothing like that. The church I go to, everybody has a car." Adjust. Adjust. Paul says, "I became all things unto all men." In the future, you may travel to an urban setting where nobody has a car. Get used to it. Expect it. Those saints are preaching the same gospel, looking for the same worthy heart that you are. They don't have any special techniques. They're just living in their environment with what it gives them. Just preach. And live in those environments, because that's what those environments are. In John 19, verse 41 to 42, my biggest word to anyone today is to recognize the fact that the Bible speaks very much about urban evangelism. Jesus standing, I'm assuming, at some point where he could probably get a view, of actual physical view. He's looking over the city of Jerusalem, and then he begins to weep. And I'm assuming he's looking at this community and he's feeling very bad, because he's thinking about his work in that community. An urban setting. Not a place where people would keep sheep and goats out in the hills somewhere, but an urban setting. He could probably see tons of houses close together. Little tiny streets, not like our streets, but streets that they knew of, where he walked and probably went from one door to the other and one market square to the other. He walked those streets. And then he begins to weep, thinking about all of his work there. And then he thinks about their future. What is up ahead for them, which is not good. But Jesus reminiscing about urban evangelism. Did Jesus have any special techniques? Did he change his message? No, he did not. He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." John the Baptist preached that out in the wilderness. Jesus picked that message up and carried it with him wherever he went. We take the same message, whether it be a rural area, suburban area, or an urban area, and we preach the same message. North Jersey is very urban. It's very gritty. Got some nice areas here too, but it's a city. You got so many cities compressed together. Well, if we went out this evening and we tried to find someone interested, we're just going to take the gospel of Christ. I'm not going to make any special preparations. Now, there might be certain things that I might adjust to, but the message is going to be the same. I'm not changing anything. And we may do that today. And then maybe next weekend, you might find us way down in the sticks of Tennessee, where you don't see a house for maybe a mile and a half. You have to walk along the road and the horse flies. You got to knock them away from you. The old horse flies down there. We're going to take the same gospel down there too. Now there might be some things down there that we don't have to worry about that we did up here. But the gospel is going to be the same. So the adjustments between these three areas has nothing whatsoever to do with the gospel. It may have to do with living conditions and wisdom. But the gospel is the same. My words to us today is, you're going somewhere, learn about that area. Learn how the people think and see how you can fit in as a citizen of that area without compromising anything that the Lord has told you. And then take that same gospel. If you were a person that carried tracts, keep carrying tracts. And as I said earlier, I believe strongly in tracts. Whenever I go out every day, I got tracts on. You saw the expression, I'm packing, okay? Really, I'm packing. Always got them because I don't know what's going to happen. I remember being in places. Like I have to go downtown and you have to take care of business and there's always somebody giving out tracts. So I always have something to give them back. But I remember a situation where I was down taking care of some business one time and we're all sitting in a room. About 20 of us. We'll wait for our numbers to call. So we're just sitting there playing with your fingers, reading the newspaper, watching the clock. And all of a sudden, the door opened, gentlemen come out. Is there a James Baker in here? I says, that's me. Raised my hand, says, come on, we'll see you now. So I'm gathering up my things, getting ready to go. There's a guy, hey, sir, before you go, here, take this. It's a trap. No faith only, just accept it. So I took it. And the guy there is waiting for me. The door is open. I look at the guy holding the door. Look at him. Man, why did this guy talk to me when I was sick? But my point is that this guy, whoever he was, he had the same spirit that we're talking about. Take your tracts. It'll say more than you could ever say. If you're the type of person, maybe you don't know what to say, the tract will say it for you. Got the church's address on there, the phone number, the website. Take it. And have tracts, especially for Jehovah's Witnesses when they knock around. I got them right on my front door. When they come, Mormons too. When they knock on the door, I got something there for them too. When we get up, when we get up in the morning, get up, and I appreciate what the brother said this morning too, because I say the same thing. I said, Lord, if there's somebody worthy, I say that all the time. If there's somebody in this area that we can help, help us to somehow run into them, to meet them. I say that every day. And then I pack my stuff up and I go out. And you know something? Every time I'm out there, I'm watching. You know, I've gotten pretty hyped up now. I go out, church, I be jacked. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm jacked. Whenever I'm out there, I'm looking right, left, and everything. And I find out that Jehovah's Witness do the same thing. One thing I will give Jehovah's Witness credit for. They school them well in evangelism. A Jehovah's Witness looks upon every person that they talk to as a potential target. Now, I don't really have a problem with that. I just have a problem with their doctrine. But, hey, you know, it's nothing, you know, that's the way it ought to be. As a potential target. Someone that they can be. And that's how we ought to be. You never know never know what opportunity. And a lot of times we let opportunities just go by. If somebody says something to you or somebody asks you something, that's your green light. Go! Go! How often do people ask you? You know, sometimes we got people crying around us about their problems. And once again, that happens in the urban setting. And as I said earlier, the suburban person, he's fat, but pretty soon he's going to start crying. So when he starts crying, that's when you go. The things that make them cry might be different. Maybe the urban man is crying because somebody done broke in and stole something out of his house. And maybe the suburban person is crying because their wife died or their father died or something happened or their dog died. I don't know. But there always is an opening. So we talk about these different areas of evangelism. Church, let's don't try to improve on the message. As we read the scripture earlier, abide in your calling. Stand where you are. The message we have is sound. We don't need to tamper with that. Take that same message wherever you live. Yes, learn something about the area in which you live, but take that same message. Once again, if it's a high crime area, don't walk around by yourself. Take somebody else with you. But take the same message. If you live in the urban setting, be aware of the fact that there's going to be people begging. This past Tuesday night, we had a fellow just got out of jail come in and ask for some money. Just got out of jail. That ain't the first time that happened. What if a man would walk in right now and tell us he needs some money, just got out of jail? In the city, that happens. So, I expect that. I expect everything that the city can throw at us, I expect to see it. I remember, I'm going to say this, I'm going to sit down. I remember being in one state, nice state, very nice state. People down there, very comfortable. They wanted to know some things about city living. What was probably the worst thing you've ever seen since you've been living there? And I said, well, I've seen a man murder. I didn't do it now. Guy, he was throwing out right on my block. They killed him somewhere else and drove right on the side of my block and threw him out there. That's pretty bad. But that happens. That happens. And you know, I just said to myself, you know, Paul, once again, I'm going back to what Paul says. I became all things to all men. He learned something about me. Because he's an evangelist. I'm going to be going everywhere. I just can't go with the mindset that I had in Tennessee or Texas or wherever I came from and expect it to be the same when I get there. I become all things for all. So I got to adjust. But I can just remember the people just saying, oh, God. It's almost as if they've never heard of such a thing. And they probably had. But we need to learn to adjust. If you're going to preach urban, you have to adjust. You got to forget about everything that you know. We've had some people come into my area, they don't even last a year. Because they don't adjust. They don't assimilate. I had one fella coming up here talking one time about how he needed friends and stuff like that. And what about the other church across town? There is no other church. What? See, he came from a town where I guess it had, what, 6, 7 churches in it that were considered to be faithful? So that's the mindset that he's in. So when he comes up here, he expects the same thing. That inside the city, there's other churches. You know, you go to their meetings, you support them, you all teach the same doctrine. He got up there and came to Pennsylvania and found out that's not the case. I said, buddy, if you go anywhere else in Philadelphia other than here, you're going to be in trouble, all right? Because you're not going to be in the same type of teaching. We got some different doctrines around here. And brethren are split. So you're not going to see the same thing. He just had a hard time wrestling with that. He finally went on back. I guess that's where he should have went. He wasn't blending in, so just go on back. Get used to the fact that inside of this town, there's only one place that you can go to. So I hope that what little bit I've said today, and I didn't, like I said, I mentioned some bad things about the urban setting, but you know, I don't think that really matters. I think what matters in this series that we're looking at, the message that we have, it'll work anywhere. The fact that, yeah, we may have to change a few of our living habits, depending on what category we're living in. See, if I'm out in a rural setting, I just can't walk down to the corner and get a newspaper, okay? If I'm living in a rural setting where houses are 2 or 3 miles apart, I better get used to jumping in my car and probably driving 5 minutes up to the nearest store. See, where I'm living at now, I can just go out of my door, walk around the corner and get a newspaper, and we're all within 10 minutes back down inside my house. I may not be able to do that in a rural setting. So I need to adjust. Not be making statements, well, in the city we can do this and that. Well, you're not in the city anymore. So I need to adjust. Plain and simple as that. But the message is the same. This is a good series. Urban, suburban, rural. If you're here today, you're not a Christian, I want to invite you to become one. Bible teaches that a man must hear the gospel, Acts 18:8. The Bible teaches that a man must believe the gospel, Acts 18:8. The Bible teaches that a man must repent of his sins, Luke 13:3. The Bible teaches that we must confess the name of Christ, Romans 10:9-10. The Bible teaches that a man must be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And then the most important thing comes after that, faithfulness. Faithfulness. As was said this morning, we don't baptize just to put marks on the wall and then ask the other brother how many more you got. It's not about that. It's about faithfulness. And to being faithful to the end, whether you're living in the rural, out in the folks, the sticks, or you probably haven't seen your neighbor in a week, or you're living in the suburban areas with all the fancy houses and nice shopping malls and well-manicured lawns, or whether you're living in the urban setting, which is very dirty and gritty, and gunshots are going off, and sirens, and noise, and all this other, and litter. Gotta be faithful. Doesn't matter which area you live in. You gotta be faithful. You got a powerful message that you're carrying. And you're looking for worthy hearts to influence by with that message. You've got to be faithful. So, that's the most important part of all of that. Remaining faithful unto Him. So if you're here today and you're not a Christian, that's the church's invite to you. And let me also say, maybe you want to study further about how to become a Christian. We welcome that. If you want to do that, we're willing to do that with you. Just let us know what's on your mind. If you are a member of the church and you desire the prayers of the church this day, for any reason whatsoever, we encourage that. The Bible teaches us to confess our faults one to another. Pray one for another that you might be healed. If you're here today, take this time to do something about it today. We're going to have this invitation song offered now. If you are here, come forward as we together stand and sing.